Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The first 10 verses of Luke chapter 17 has Jesus comparing and contrasting things little and things large. In a reversal of the usual order, Jesus is exalting the small over the large and faith over works. In the first two verses, Jesus says, "Woe unto the world because of temptations." Now that word temptations is the Greek word scandalon. You may recognize the word scandal. And we all know about scandals. You can hardly turn on the news or read the paper without hearing about dirt getting dished up about somebody or something. Scandals are quite newsworthy. Actually, the word scandalon that Jesus uses is Greek for the trigger in a trap. It's like where you put the cheese in your mouse trap. That's called the scandal. It's small, but it's just as deadly as a giant millstone hung around your neck. Millstones were used to grind wheat into flour. They were large and heavy. And when the millstones ran out, they were then chopped up and used for ship anchors. So that's where Jesus talks about millstones and being cast into the sea. Now, I've mentioned this before, but a reminder, the collars that pastors wear are a reminder of the millstone that is around our neck. Whenever our heads go down, I can feel it jabbing into me. And it's a reminder that pastors should teach God's word correctly and not lead anyone astray. Now, our Lord is also concerned that even the youngest of children are not misled. Our Lord is concerned about the littlest, tiniest children because they too can have faith. Now, how's that? They're too little. Well, faith is a gift from God. You don't decide to have it on your own. You don't get to a certain age of accountability or something where all of a sudden, oh, now I can have faith. Not at all. Faith is God-given. And because it's God-given, Christians have always baptized little babies. Jesus even said in Matthew 18, which was last week's gospel, that do not despise one of these little ones who believe in me. And as I mentioned last week, the word little one is the Greek word micron, which is something very, very tiny. That's newborn infants can believe in Jesus. Faith is given by God, not something we grow into. Now, the next verses, Jesus is, again, he's going from the less than to the greater than, in this case, rebuking and forgiving. Human nature loves to rebuke. We're very good at it. We're terrific when it comes to pointing our finger and identifying the sins of other people. But Jesus reminds us, rebuke only once. That's something we need to do to keep people on the straight and narrow. One of the purposes of the Ten Commandments is that it's a curb to prevent our sinful nature from taking us too far. Now, rebuking is mentioned once, but forgiveness is to be always offered. Always. Now, wait a minute. Didn't Jesus just say to forgive up to 7 times? Is that the limit? We keep our little memo book and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 2 more times, you get forgiven, then that's it. No, not at all. You see, 7 in the Bible is the number for completion. Our Lord's use of that number means he wants us to forgive continually. Jesus keeps forgiving you. He doesn't have a 1 or 2 or 7 strikes you're out policy. You and I, well, we sin daily and deserve nothing but punishment. but we receive God's forgiveness for the sake of Jesus Christ, often and again. God richly and daily forgives us from the cross. Our Savior was punished for all of our sins, and the blessing of our Lord's cross and empty tomb are available to all, but have to be received by faith. And that faith alone saves a believer from sin. Now, how much faith do you need? What's the size of your faith? Do you have enough to get the job done? Well, in verses 5 and 6, Jesus answers that. The apostles ask him, "Lord, increase our faith." And what does Jesus do? He decreases it to the size of a mustard seed. There's a very good quotation about mustard seeds that I've seen. It's been attributed to the previous pope in Rome, Benedict. And the quotation is, "I have a mustard seed, and I'm not afraid to use it." It's a preposterous sounding thing to say, but it's true. I have a mustard seed, and I'm not afraid to use it. You see, we like to think large. We tell our children, dream big. But Jesus works in ways that seem small and inconsequential. Giving faith to the tiny little child, from the tiniest seed comes the greatest tree. These things seem absurd, but they're true. And from the sacrificial death of only one, of Jesus on the cross, comes the salvation of many. People may find that hard to believe, and they may reject it with scorn, but it doesn't change the reality. Salvation comes by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Period. No other way. Now, that request of the apostles to increase our faith deserves a little comment. There's no shortage of people claiming to have formulas, methods for being happier, healthier, more faithful, more prosperous, being a better Christian. They're on TV and they sell books. I pay no attention to them. I don't buy them. I don't recommend anyone does. You see, these are schemes that amount to nothing more than salvation by works. If you can save yourself by your own efforts, by following the right advice, well, then why do you need the gospel? You either totally rely on the mercy of God, or you don't. You either have a precious, tiny mustard seed, or you don't. That's also a reversal of what people commonly think. Human efforts are praised in many areas, but spiritually they are worthless. Divine grace is everything. It's as though Jesus is telling the apostles and all of us, do not turn faith into a human work. And that's right. Faith is not a human work. We didn't ask for faith, because if we did, well, then we would get the credit for saving ourselves. No, faith was given to you without any merit or worthiness in you. Nobody decides to follow Jesus. He decides to call you, to wash you in baptism, and to make you his own. You had nothing to do with it whatsoever. And then our Lord concludes with a parable. Masters have their work and servants have theirs. Servants wait on their master first before they take care of themselves, and they do it without expecting to be thanked. And at the end of the day, all those servants can admit to is being unworthy servants. They've only done what was expected of them. Now, you can expect God to do his job. He's going to show you mercy, forgive you your sins, and one day receive your soul into heaven. At the last day, when Jesus returns, he will raise you from the dead. None of these things are God's way of thanking you for a job well done. And that's the point of the parable. God does it all. He has left no loose ends for you to tie up. That's why Jesus finishes this little discourse as he does. God, your master, always does his job for you, and he does it well, even though you and I are nothing but unworthy servants. Now, this isn't to say that believers don't do good works. Just as servants wait on their masters, you and I serve the cause of Jesus Christ. We let our light shine so that other people may see our good works and glorify God in heaven. Not glorify us, glorify God. Whatever we do is done out of gratitude to God who saves us by grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. So believe the gospel and cling to it for dear life. Without it, you are a millstone headed for deep water. With it, you have been baptized into Christ. You receive him in word and sacraments. These all seem small, maybe dull and unexciting, but through them, God creates faith, forgives sins, and opens heaven. That's the faith that God gave to your loved ones who came before you, and it's the faith that you now have. So take comfort in the gospel. Even if your faith is just the size of a mustard seed, it is still faith, and that's all you need. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise for the Nicene Creed on page 158.